I'd like to have a copy of God's Word, extract that is from the Bible. It's the only place God's Word is to be found. Word of God, New Testament, entirety, offered to you freely, yours simply for the taking. God's Word that able, of course, to impart to you that wisdom that, seems to be so much lacking in our society today, a wisdom that leads to salvation, that leads to an understanding of what it is you truly, really are, before God, that is, not before men. And of course, brought to that place of, by God's grace, you know, seeking for the Savior, because, bottom line is, we all need a Savior, because we're all sinners, and the judge is at the door. So it's quite, help yourself, madam, yes, by all means, God bless you. So, we all need a Savior, judge is at the door. And very soon he's going to open the door. You're going to be ushered into his courtroom. And if you're not ready, you've not got a defense, an advocate suitable, one that is able to defend you before the judge. And of course, that would be Jesus. Nobody else can. No other suitable advocate unless Christ has died for your sins, and unless you know that, live and die in the assurance of it. Well, that's the light wisdom, but here's the Word of God offered to you, make you wise, impart the wisdom to you that you need, that you might be saved. You're simply for the taking, it's offered to you. No obligation to you. None whatsoever. Of course, that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that's rejected in this our day and generation. Well, that's no surprise to me, really. That the world never been any different, from the beginning. The men and women hate the gospel, hate Jesus Christ, and hate the followers of Jesus Christ. That's not surprising. It's always been that way. But of course, when you understand, the apostasy, when you understand the rebellion, when you understand the true state, of human nature, it's hardly surprising, Bible, of course, reveals these things to you. It's why I bring it to you. It's why it's offered to you, the Word of God written, Because you see, the Bible, God testifies, that man's deeds are evil. And of course, nobody likes to be told that their deeds are evil, because we all live with this misconception, that we're good, that there's some kind of good in us, a tiny little spark of good in us, that we're not altogether bad, That there's still a modicum, there's still, I might not be quite up to the mark, I might not be as good as others, but, there's a little bit of good in me, Nobody likes to be told, to be informed otherwise. So it's hardly surprising, that you would hate the gospel, that man, that the world would hate the gospel and hate Jesus Christ and hate the servants of Jesus Christ who testify, who confess before you that your deeds are evil, thoroughly, absolutely, totally evil. Because that's the testimony, that's God's testimony. It's not mine. I don't come to bring my opinion to you. My opinion is no more valuable than yours. What would that be worth, just a sinner same as yourselves, yet a sinner saved by grace. But, you know, friends, it's not my opinion. You know, it's God's opinion. It's what God has declared from the beginning, His Word. So it's no surprise, you know, that, well, the world, society as it is today, you know, that it despises and hates the Christian gospel and the Christian message. You know, that, the truth that God testifies to here in His Word, that even the little bit, you know, the light of nature that still remains in your fallen state and condition, even that you use wrongly. Even you use that to curse God. Even that you use to hate God. Even that you use, you know, to your own selfish, sinful, wicked, evil ends. So, you know, no surprises. No surprises that you hate God and hate His servants, you know. A world, Bible tells us that a world, the world, in unbelief, in its apostasy from God, rebellion against God, against its Maker, is in its entirety holy and completely polluted. No goodness, none whatsoever, in one iota or shred of it. Even that light of nature that remains in you, you hold under in suppression, in wickedness, and in unrighteousness. Here's what God says, not me, His Word. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him, nor give thanks to Him, but became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts darkened. That is God's testimony concerning, and of course, well, it goes on, there's much worse. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error, given up because of that apostasy, because of that rebellion, given up to debased minds, to do that which you ought not to do. Shameless acts, shameless deeds. Friends, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against that ungodliness and that unrighteousness of men that holds down, holds under, holds back, suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. That's the testimony. That's the devastating testimony of God's Word, of the Holy Scriptures, of the Bible. And that's the testimony that I bring to you today. So it's no wonder at all that men rage. No wonder that men get into a lather, as it were, when the gospel is truly and clearly proclaimed to them. When the testimony of God's brought before them, it's hardly any wonder that men and women hate the gospel and hate the Savior and hate God, the one who sent His only begotten Son into the world that you might be saved from that state of rebellion, that you might be saved from that anarchy against heaven, that you might be delivered from these shameful acts, that you might be delivered from your ungodliness and unrighteousness. I come as a friend. I come to warn you of these things. I come to bear this testimony to you in order that you might be convicted, in order that you might be converted even, that you might be turned out of your rebellion and brought into a right relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. By believing, that is, on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. Of course, as in every other day and generation, you've got false religion, you've got sects and cults, you've got all manner of people, you know, who come to you with erroneous teaching, who will tell you otherwise. They'll tell you that in your unregenerate state, in your natural state, that is, your natural born state, that there's still a little spark of good in you, that you're not really, really dead in sin. You're not utterly dead in sin. There's still a spark of life in you. But of course, that's contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says that we and our children are conceived in sin. Conceived in sin. 9 months later, born in sin. And therefore, as a result of that, children of wrath, under the displeasure of God. From that moment of conception, all the way through life to the end, unless that is, born into a state of death, remain in a state of death, and die in a state of death, and continue on through the ages of eternity in a state of death, everlasting death. Unless that is, of course, you're made alive. But those will tell you, well, you can do something. There's still a spark of life in you. You can do something to help yourself. Something that is to get you back on track and back onto God's pathway. Well, the Bible says otherwise. It says unless you've been born again, you have not the life of God in you. If you've not been born again, you do not have the love of God in you. If you've not been regenerated, that's what's needed, not religion. Regeneration. It's life that you need.
I have got the dead. I have got a really bad drug problem. Is there any way God can help me? What can I do? Because I'm really trying my hardest now. I'm trying my hardest to get myself right.
Yeah.
I want to know more.
That's good.
You know what I mean? I don't go robbing anymore.
No.
I just use my money that I get.
That's good.
But I want to get a job and that and get myself
sorted. That's good. Get yourself under the gospel, man. Hear the gospel.
Get
to your church, you know. You read the Bible.
Yeah.
You got a Bible?
No, I haven't got one.
You got one?
Could do, well, yeah.
Will you read it?
Yeah, I'll read it for a spare one, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I'm going to give this read.
Yeah.
I've tried everything else. Hopefully this will work.
The first one's Matthew.
Yeah.
The next one's Mark.
Right.
Read Mark.
Mark, right.
That's a simple one. It's straightforward, you know what I mean?
Right. It's easy to understand, like.
Yeah. It's Jesus you need, man.
Jesus.
The drugs, you know, the alcohol, no matter what it is.
Yeah, the horrible.
It's all sin, like. That's what it is.
Do you know what, though? I keep asking for help, yeah?
Yeah. Well, keep on.
To my doctor.
Yeah.
3 years now they've been messing me about like this. I'm ready to kill myself.
No, don't do that. There's no answer there. There's no answer
there.
That makes it worse. That makes it worse, yeah. On your knees, man. Cry out to Jesus. Save me, Jesus.
I hope you will.
Well, go. Have a good day, sir.
Kids and that, you know what
I mean? Yeah, sure.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, nice meeting you.
Okay, you too.
All right,
yeah, God bless you. Yeah, yeah. You're welcome. So like I say, friends, you know, the Bible's testimony is that we're dead, you know. You know, and dead's dead, you know. What can dead do? You know, you got a corpse lying here on the floor. You can kick it, you can spit on it, you can hose it. You can do what you like with it, but you won't get nothing out of it. Because dead's dead, you know. And it's not that we're just a little bit dead, or even just a big bit dead. We are totally and completely dead to God. Dead in your trespasses, your sins, that is. And there's only one answer to dead, and that's life. And that's what Jesus says he came for. I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he means I am the one who gives life, spiritual life, regeneration, life from the dead. Unless you have been resurrected, unless you have been made a new creature in Jesus Christ, unless you have been regenerated, you can be religious. That's not regeneration. Religion abounds in your world today, in your society today. Polluted, dead religion. Even that is wholly polluted. It's regeneration that you need. It's life from the dead. You must be born again, says Jesus, because unless a man is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. So you see, friends, you'll always have these people telling you otherwise. There's a little spark of goodness still left in man, a little bit of life. You can do it yourself. You can help yourself. Friends, I tell you, you are dead without Jesus Christ and without the regenerating power of God in your soul, without the life of God in you and the love of God in your heart. You must be born again. There's no other way. Life from the dead, resurrection. Nothing else will do. God says so. His testimony. Then, of course, there's some people will tell you, yes, even religious people, that you're not destitute, you know, of all powers, you know, unto good, you know, that there's still some spark of goodness in you. I dare say that if I was to ask you personally, many of you, ask you what kind of a person you think you are, well, you would say, you know, I'm a good person, you know. I do good, work for charity, I give to the homeless, you know. I don't just walk past them, I give them some money, you know, or buy them some food or stuff, you know. And I'm a good person, you know. Yeah, I do things wrong, I do things I know I shouldn't do, but overall, I'm a good person. Well, again, you see, that's false teaching, wrong teaching. That's not what you need to hear. You need to hear the gospel, and you need to hear God's testimony concerning humanity. You need to hear God's testimony concerning yourself. You need to hear the gospel. The gospel, I'm afraid, that you don't hear in your churches and the potteries anymore. The gospel that reminds men and women of the depth of the wickedness of their hearts, how deceitful and desperately wicked their hearts are. Oh, they'll dance and they'll sing for you. They'll feed you. Oh, they might even clothe you, some of them. But they won't tell you the truth as it is in Jesus. They won't tell you what kind of a wicked person you are. That there's no power in you for any good whatsoever. God's testimony is contrary to the testimony of man. Not good. None good, he says. None righteous. No, not even one. None of us with the power in our fallen, natural, unregenerate state, not an ounce of goodness in any one of you. And why you need my Savior, why you need Jesus Christ, why you need the Son of God, the one whose righteousness you need, because your righteousness, your perceived, imagined righteousness is, God says, are like filthy rags. How you doing, sir? You having a good day, sir? How you doing?
You don't believe in that, do you?
Sorry? You think I'm stood there for nothing? You think I'm just entertaining myself? You need to repent, sir.
You're getting old, sir.
You're getting old, sir. Your hair's grey, it's falling out, sir. You're soon for out of this world. No fool like an old fool. A saying goes, and it's still true today. So many of you, grey hairs, walking sticks, can hardly even walk. You're soon for out of this world, and you're fighting and railing against the Almighty. That's not a good place to be. Soon you're going to meet the judge. And if you've not been born again, if you've not been made a new creature in Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. Serious, serious trouble. Not an iota, not a modicum of power, power unto goodness left in you. Even the light of nature that's left to you in your fallen condition, even that you use to curse God. Even that. A man walking by, an aged man, cursing God, cursing the gospel, cursing the good news that would save him. Yeah, by the power and strength, not of himself, but the air that God gives him to breathe. He drinks God's food, he walks on God's earth, and he drinks God's water, breathes God's air, and he uses it to curse God. Wickedness, rebellion, anarchy against heaven. Oh, dear friends, there's no good in you at all. Not in any one of us. Nothing but evil continually is in the hearts of men. And why? Why you need to be regenerated. Why you need to be reborn. Why you need a new nature. One that loves God. One that is able to do good. From a new nature given you by God. And given the gifts of repentance and faith towards God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot hunger. I urge you that you should. Jesus does. Urges you that you should hunger and thirst after righteousness, after life. These are the things that you should desire. And I urge you to desire them, but you don't. There's not a man, woman, or child born into this world in their natural state and condition who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Oh yeah, after a bigger house, after more money, yeah, after more of your idols, after more deviant sex, after more filth and shameless uncleanness. Oh, you hunger and thirst after that. You pant after it. But not after righteousness. Righteousness is, it's not even on the list. It's not even on your bucket lists. You talk about bucket lists. You're going to meet your maker and you're talking about a bucket list. You want to go to Dubai or Afghanistan or somewhere. Fools and blinds, people. Oh, dear friends, you ought to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness and after life. Life eternal, I mean, life everlasting, but you don't. You don't because there's no good in you. There's no power in you. There's no strength in you. There's no desire. There's no hunger after righteousness. And after, of course, the life eternal. No thought in your hearts and minds for these things. No thought of God in your minds. Well, the preacher not here talking about God. Some people will tell you erroneously that you can offer to God the sacrifice that He requires. A contrite heart and a broken spirit. These are pleasing to God, the Bible tells me. A contrite heart, a broken spirit, you know. The kind of person, you know, who laments and mourns over their sins. Know what they are before God. Know that they come short of the glory of God. Know that they break God's commandments day after day. And they mourn, lament. They cry out to God that He would be merciful to them in their disobedience. But you cannot offer that sacrifice to God, a broken spirit, because you do not have a broken spirit. You do not have a broken heart. The very contrary. You think you're a cool dude? You think you're flying? You think you're for heaven? You think you're for good? You think you're for God? But friends, unless God gives you that broken spirit, unless God breaks your heart, unless God breaks it in pieces and brings you to that place of seeing the abomination that your sin is, how disgusting, how revolting it is to God, and how unacceptable you are to Him, unless He brings you to that place on your knees and crying out to Him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You're made as you are. Holy, holy, that's the entirety of humankind, the entire human race, holy, corrupted the worldwide. Not an ounce, not an iota of goodness in anyone, any man, woman, or child, conceived in sin, born in sin, and therefore children of wrath, unless by my gospel, unless by the good news of Jesus Christ, you're made alive, brought to repentance, brought to faith in the Son of God, the only one who can save you, deliver you from the present revealed wrath of God that is upon you because of your apostasy, because of your wholehearted pollution. Unless Jesus Christ saves you, you cannot be saved right with God. See, contrary to Scripture, all these errors, you were dead through trespasses and sins, God says to His people, to Christians. Every imagination of the thoughts of the heart, only evil continually. To hunger and thirst for deliverance and to seek after life eternal belongs only to those who have been made alive. Belongs only to those who have been born again. Belongs only to those whom God by His Spirit has made alive. Change that is their natures. A nature that's sinful. A natural man, a natural woman, natural state in which you are born, doesn't desire God. Enmity against God, hostile to God. That's why the hostility is expressed amongst you when the gospel is declared in your nation today. Nothing but hostility, nothing but hatred. It's a hate crime now in your modern society to preach the gospel, to warn sinners that they're going to hell. They call that a hate crime now. To warn people, you know, of their immorality, their sexual deviance. Yes, the homosexuality. To warn people about such.
Hiya. Hi.
Yeah.
Hiya, how long?
Why?
Your son, he's had a terrible time. He's had meningitis 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's getting over it. He's on a positive. He tried to come out to bus.
Yeah.
And he's what? This is a good spot to do it.
Oh, okay, right. I won't be long, though. No. I'm nearly done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How long about? Because if not, we'll walk up there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll have a walk up and down, like.
We're on a limit, but he's got a lot of stuff set up as well.
Okay, I won't be long. I won't be long, yeah. Yeah, I won't be long. I'm about halfway through anyway. Yeah.
How long's that?
I'm not sure, like, yeah.
But it's a funny thing, he's got a hearing problem.
Yeah.
So things louder in it to me, but he's trying to beat it by playing music.
Aye, okay.
Yeah.
But I won't be long, yeah.
Yes,
maybe, about there, yeah. I won't be long, yeah. So like you say, friends, you know, the gospel, that's what men need, you know. To hunger and thirst after righteousness, you know, and to, you know, to seek eternal life, that belongs. That doesn't belong to natural born sinners. You know, you don't come into the world that way. You know, a child is born in sin, conceived in sin and born in sin, and therefore desirous of nothing but sin, you know. No desire for God. No desire for eternal life, no desire for the things of God, but just the things of the flesh. When you wake up in the morning, what are your thoughts? What are your first thoughts? What will I eat today? What will I feed myself with today? What will I wear today? You know, nothing but the flesh. You never get beyond that, because all you are is nothing but flesh until that is, you've been born again. Until God breathes the breath of life into you, makes you a new creature, gives you a new heart with new desires, desires for God, desires for righteousness, desires for eternal life. No one ever desired God till God made them desire Him. He must, by the gospel, the good news, He must work this in you by the operations of His Spirit. You must be born again. There's no other way. Except a man be born again, he cannot perceive, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. So you see, friends, the corrupt, the natural man, even the use of the modicum of the light of nature that's left to you. You know, the gifts that God bestows upon man, even these are used against God. You know, clever men, you know, supposedly, you know, like Charlie Darwin, he wasn't all that clever, like, but, you know, comes up with this nonsense about evolution. Men use their God-given gifts, even scientists, you know, use their God-given gifts, what to do? To seek to explain away the one who gave them the very gifts. Friends, that's man. That's humanity. That's the entirety of the human race. Conceived in sin, born in sin, natural born sinners, sinners by nature, sinners by choice. And the choice will always be sin as long as you're in that state and condition. The choice will never be for God unless by the miracle, unless by the supernatural operations of God, He causes you to be reborn, makes you a new person in Jesus Christ His Son. Can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? God says. Can you bring a clean child out of an unclean woman? Impossible. How can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you do good? This is not possible with you. Impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. But the gospel, the good news, God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world by the preaching of the gospel, the very means despised and rejected by you, but the very means by which God causes men to be reborn. Hearing the message of the gospel, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing God's testimony, not man's, God's testimony concerning Himself, His mercy, goodness, and kindness. His testimony about Himself, the God whom He is, not the God of Islam, not the God of Roman Catholicism, not the gods of Buddhism, but the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible. His revealed testimony concerning Himself, and His revealed testimony concerning yourself, the person that you are. None good, says God. None good. None righteous. No, not even one. God's testimony. And why? You need to hear that testimony. That you might fall on your knees. And that you might cry out to God that He would have mercy upon you. That you might go home and that you might get on your knees with an open Bible and cry out to God and give Him no rest until He comes to you, until you know that you've been born again, until you know that you've been pardoned, that your sins have been forgiven, that you're not good, that there's none good, that humanity as a whole lies in a state of complete, utter corruption, undone. Well, that's bad enough, and that makes for a pretty bad world to live in. We all complain about it, don't we, day after day? We complain about the government, we blame them, and everybody else, every other Tom, Dick and Harry, we blame everybody but ourselves. But the mess that the world's in, the killing and the slaughtering, whether it be religiously connected or otherwise, makes no difference. Take away the religion, you would still be killing and slaughtering one another. You'd find another excuse for doing it. No, not all the killing, not all the slaughtering's done in the name of religion. There's plenty more being done. Millions upon millions have been slaughtered in the name of socialism. Hitler's variety, Mao Zedong's, Stalin's. Oh yeah, they've got a few bodies to their credit. So like I say, friends, you know, humanity doesn't change. The only thing that changes humanity is regeneration. Is the gospel is when men and women are born again, when they're changed by the power of God, by the gospel, when they're brought to faith in Jesus Christ, nothing else changes humanity. But like I say, the world's in a mess. You all complain about it, you know, but you don't do nothing about it. You don't do nothing to get out of it. You just go along with it. But listen, hey, we all of us, every single one of us, without exception, we've all of us contributed to the mess that the world is in. And it's because of one thing and one thing only. Sin. Sin is the cause. It's the apostasy from God. Rebellion against your Maker. That's the cause. That's the root cause. But of course, you just want to deal with the effect, you know? Oh, don't tell me about the cause. I don't want to know. I don't want a proper diagnosis. I just want you, doctor. I just want you to take away the effects. You know? Take away the misery. Take away the unhappiness. But leave me with my sin. Don't take my sin away. I love my sin. I want my sin. Please, don't take my sin away. You'd rather die than somebody take your sin away. Your lovers. What's your lover today? Is it drunkenness? Don't take my drunkenness away. Oh, deal with the poverty. Give me more money. You know? Take the hangover away the next morning, but please don't take my drunkenness away, that's my lover. Or maybe it's immorality, maybe it's fornication. Sodomy, the Bible calls it, homosexuality. The last stage of God's wrath being poured out upon this world, evident to you, ought to be evident to you. The giving over of men and women to such shameless acts. Sodomy, homosexuality, men and women doing filthy, shameless deeds with one another. Friends, the last stage of the development of the apostasy of the world, God's wrath, that's the expression of God's wrath upon an apostate, corrupt world that lies in rebellion against His Maker. Give it over. I don't want God, you say. I don't want God. I don't want His power. I don't want His love. I don't want His salvation. So God says, okay, I'll open another door for you. And He shoves you through the door and tells you, just get on with it. Gives you over to the power of self. Self, that's what sin is. Selfishness to the uttermost. Yeah? Selfishness. The God of self. God gives you over to the God of self. Your idol, the one that you take the pictures of, you know? With your phones. The God of self. Yeah? Given over to the power of yourself. And I tell you, there is nothing worse. There is nothing worse, I tell you, that can befall any human being in this world, on this planet, is for God to give them over. To give them over to what they desire. To give them over to the power of their selves and to the power of sin. Given over to a reprobate mind, a debased mind, to do shameful deeds, to do that which you ought not to do, and to strive against your Maker and against your fellow man, and to kill and slaughter one another. Ah, dear friends, I tell you, there's a way back from that. There's a way back from that rebellion. There's a way back from that apostasy. It is why I come amongst you to declare the good news as it is in Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the one who died on the cross, the one who came into the world made of a woman, made under the law to redeem those under the power of the law, under the condemnation of God's law, to redeem them from that apostasy, from that condemnation. He came and lived and loved and died. So loved the world that He willingly bore the shame of the cross, took the wrath of God upon Himself, that you might not bear it, that you might not have to suffer it. Took upon Himself that divine wrath that was due to the sins of the world, that those who believe on His name might be saved. Salvation, saved from the apostasy, saved from the corruption of the world, saved from your natural state and condition, that you might be made new, restored to God, made a new creature in Jesus Christ, His Son, and restored to the favor of God, all by the free gift of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here today. Son of God, loved sinners, and gave Himself for them, that you might not perish in your sin, that you might not die that eternal, that death that you're exposed to day after day, everlasting death. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, might not perish, but have everlasting life, as opposed to everlasting death, that is. Saved. Oh, there's something to be saved from. The worldwide pollution of humanity, the apostasy of mankind, the rebellion of natural man in your natural state and condition, without God, without Christ, without having been born again. Faith with the catastrophe, hell's damnation. Oh, there's something to be saved from. Be alarmed, be distressed, be worried, be frightened. Get on your knees and cry out to God that He would have mercy upon you. Go home, get a Bible, give you one if you like. Open it up, read, see. Study God's testimony concerning yourself, your state and your condition. But more importantly, what God has done to his son Jesus Christ that you might be saved from that, delivered from it, and from the wrath of God, delivered into the kingdom of God. The Word of God, the testimony of God, presented and offered to you here this afternoon. Not that you might be saved. Salvation. Salvation is what the Bible's about. How men get saved from that condition. Natural condition in which they're conceived and born. Word of God. Presented, offered to you. Salvation of God. Presented and offered to you. Word of God in truth. Is no truth apart from the Word of God. No truth in your corrupted, polluted world. Ah, none whatsoever. It's truth that will make you free, says Jesus. Not the lies of evolution. Not the lies of false religion. The truth, friends. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. He's the only one that can set you free from the pollution of your sin, of humanity, and make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word freely offered to you, no cost, no obligation to you, none whatsoever. Read, see the words of Jesus, first words of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. Repent and believe the Gospel, he says. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the only way you can enter is in the way of repentance. Turning from your sin, from your apostasy, and turning to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So repent and believe the Gospel, Newcastle. Repent and believe the Gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Jesus says. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. It's all in God's Word. Read, study for yourself. See that these things are so, you'd like a copy of God's Word. Come and ask for one. You won't find it in the Watchtower Society. That's false religion. That's lies from the pit of hell. It's the Bible that you need. It's the Word of God that you need. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ that you need. The Son of God. The Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, came into the world to live and die and rise again from the dead that this salvation might be yours. You'd like a copy of God's Word? Come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying souls.